Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. And, Evan, it certainly is a great state this week. At least the Badger fans think that it's a great state. But before we get into our show tonight and talk NCAA basketball, how are you doing?
Doing well, and yes, it is great for the state of Wisconsin right now. Badger fans celebrating a Badger victory and a Marquette loss. So, you know, great thing to be a Badger fan right now. But I'm doing well. I'm enjoying some R&R time up in Door County, and now getting ready to talk some NCAA hoops. And, you know, I don't think there is a bracket left that isn't busted after the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. I don't think there's a perfect bracket left out there anywhere at this point. Because you look at the Sweet 16 that's coming up, especially the East region. The East region especially, Troy, is a huge mess. And the West region with Xavier sneaking in there as the 11 seed, you know, they add fuel to the mess as well. So, but, yeah, I think pretty much every bracket is busted, minus with Wisconsin meeting Villanova. But at this point, I don't care that my bracket's busted. I'm just happy that my Badgers are Sweet 16 bound for the fourth year in a row. And, you know, it does feel good. So how are things out in Western PA?
Well, like you, my bracket doesn't look too bad. And the reason is that, and you were talking about it before, the Big Ten, I picked Michigan and Purdue to move into the Sweet 16. My actual, that bracket on that side, on the right side, looks pretty good. The left side, that is not good at all. I had Villanova into the Final Four, at Duke into the Elite Eight. Oh, it was crazy. Bottom part is okay, but I was telling you before the show, before we went live, that it happens every year. I know you tweeted out before the tournament to one of our listeners about Kansas. It really actually, though, Evan, it's the Duke curse. It's whenever I pick Duke into the Elite Eight or Final Four or championship game, they will get knocked out early. When I don't pick them and I pick them to lose in the second round or even in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight, that's when they win the national championship. So there really is something with me and picking Duke in the bracket. So you're not out of line there saying whatever I pick, don't, you know, you better hope I don't pick certain teams. But it's Duke. Duke is the team that always is the exact opposite. They're always like a little thorn in my side for the NCAA bracket. But I'll tell you what, Evan, Wisconsin, what a game. Kevin and I talked about it on our Go Big or Go Home show that we both picked Villanova, and we picked Villanova to go rather far. But when we did our show, we actually said that Wisconsin has an opportunity if they play Wisconsin Badger basketball, and they got to play darn near perfect. I will be honest with you. I was throwing the towel in when they were down by 7 with 5 minutes to go. I did not think Villanova would let up a 7-point lead with 5 minutes to go. I would definitely be lying if I said, yeah, I thought they had a chance. I thought they were done. At that point, Evan, when it was a 7-point lead, 5 minutes to go, the game was over. Not that I wasn't going to continue to cheer, but I just thought it was over. But I'll tell you what, this Wisconsin Badger team, Evan, you and I have talked about it. They basically were playing like crap for part of the season, even when they were winning. Then they went into that long losing streak. I was not very confident in the Badger basketball team going into this tournament. But Bronson Canning is playing in a different planet right now. And they figured out how to play basketball, at least for two games. And when you look at what happened in the rest of this region, they actually have a very realistic shot to make the Final Four. But they got to continue to play. They can't breathe a sigh of relief because Duke went down. But when you look at this bracket, Evan, I'm going to turn it back over to you and get your thoughts. They have a legitimate shot to get back to the Final Four.
Yeah, when you look at Wisconsin, and this is why I should have given them a little bit more credit than I was doing, their two best players, Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig, this is their fourth NCAA tournament appearance, their fourth trip to the Sweet 16. They've been to two Final Fours. They've been to a national championship game. They've been around. They know what it's like. And Vito Brown and Zach Showalter, this is their fourth Sweet 16 as well. Now, Vito Brown hasn't really been a big contributor until now, but he's got the experience as well. So, you know, you can't discount that experience that they have. Yes, Villanova won it all last year. I get that. But this is a Wisconsin team that's not going to panic. You know, they're down 7 with 5 minutes to go, whatever it was. They're not going to panic. They're going to stay consistent with their game. They're not going to just jack up shots like they used to do at times with the point guard before Bronson Koenig. I think it was Trayvon Jackson, something like that, I think his name was. He would just jack up shots when they were down. But, you know, Bronson Koenig, he's steady. Nigel Hayes is steady. And, you know, the difference between last year's NCAA tournament run to the Sweet 16 and this year's NCAA tournament run is Hayes is just playing really good basketball right now. Yes, Bronson Koenig has played really well in getting Wisconsin where they're at with the win over Virginia Tech and with Villanova, but Nigel Hayes has just been, you know, I think the key reason. He didn't do anything at all last year, and this year he's 19 points on Saturday, double-double on Thursday. And the way those two guys are playing right now, they're going to be a tough out. And then you get Vito Brown contributing, and you still got Ethan Happ. So Florida better watch out. This is going to be a tough game for Florida. Florida played a Virginia offense that just couldn't do anything, scoring just 39 points. But Wisconsin, offensively, if they're moving the ball like they were against Villanova, like they did against Virginia Tech, and not doing the standing around like they were doing most of February and January, they're a tough team to beat. Now, defensively, Wisconsin has some liabilities. That's where I think their Achilles heel is going to be against Florida, is trying to stop them from scoring. But overall, this Badger team is looking pretty good. And when you look at the bracket, they got to get through Florida on Friday, 9:59 Eastern time on Friday, 9 o'clock Central, pretty much. And then if they get by Florida, then they got to get by Baylor or a red-hot South Carolina team that knocked out Duke yesterday, 88-81. Easy road to the Final Four, but when you look at it, what the other teams have to go up against, it's probably easier than any others. Now, Gonzaga has to go through West Virginia and then Arizona or Xavier. North Carolina has to go through Butler and then Kentucky or UCLA. And Kansas has to go through Purdue and then Oregon or Michigan. So Wisconsin probably has the easier path than the ones that are left. But it's still not going to be easy. But they could definitely do it. I think this is a Badger team that could shock the world as long as Nigel Hayes keeps playing outstanding basketball. And, you know, Troy, the Big Ten, people very critical on the Big Ten. The Big Ten sucks this year. It's a down year. They're below average. They're awful. The ACC is the best team, best conference in college basketball, hands down. The Big 12 is so much better than the Big Ten, hands down. When you look at the Sweet 16, you got Wisconsin from the Big Ten, Florida from the SEC, Baylor from the Pac-12, South Carolina from the SEC, Oregon from the Pac-12, Michigan from the Big Ten, Purdue from the Big Ten, Kansas from the Big 12, you got North Carolina from the ACC, you got Butler, you got UCLA, Kentucky, Xavier, Arizona, Gonzaga, and West Virginia. The only ACC team left in the entire tournament, Troy, is North Carolina. So all the talk about how the Big Ten was horrible and the ACC is the best conference there is, kind of got proven wrong, though, didn't it?
It did, and I was one that was, I wouldn't say I was critical. You know, when, and part of this is, you know, again, those that listen in, Kevin and I do a Big Ten show. Not that the conference was terrible, Evan. It's just the conference had a lot of young guys, a lot of teams that were trying to find their way. And during the season, you know, no team that really found that consistency that you really wanted to give the eye test to and say, wow, this is a dominating team. But I'll tell you what, I think the conference overall, not having that dominant juggernaut team, as Kevin would say, probably helped Purdue, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And I say that because every day they're playing a good game. They got prepared for the tournament. I mean, Michigan's just red hot. And the thing is, if they shot the three-pointers like mad crazy in that opening game against Oklahoma State, and they played a little bit of defense against Louisville, which was, for Michigan, that's a big thing. And then we all know Purdue has the big men. Swanigan and Haas, two guys that can really dominate a game. And then Wisconsin's got their big three with Hap, Hayes, and Caney. And you look at it, Evan, but all the analysts across the country, you know, what you were saying, ACC this, ACC that, and they were deep. They had a lot of good teams. But again, the regular season means nothing, and that's, you know, one of those things when I look at it, this conference tournament, there's some teams are going to look at that conference tournament different. You know, some teams are like, oh, let's get it over with, let's get to the NCAA tournament. Others need it to, hey, we need to make a last push to get in the tournament. But when you look at the NCAA tournament now, Evan, you got three Big Ten teams that are in the Sweet 16, and not all three can make the Final Four because two of them are in the same bracket. I actually have Purdue and Michigan both advancing to the Elite Eight. I have Purdue in the Final Four. And I have them because they have, you know, in my mind, those Swanigan and Haas to dominate the boards. They got Edwards at guard that, if he plays well, gives them good guard play. Now, that's going to be a tough game. Don't get me wrong, against Kansas. I think I might have been crazy for picking that win. But just watching Purdue, as I did throughout the year, when they're on, they're a very good team and a tough team to beat. You just mentioned Wisconsin. When they're on, they're a tough out. Michigan, if they're shooting the three-pointer and scoring, I mean, Michigan can drop 90 any given day, Evan. And when you're putting up 90, and even against a good defense, if they put up 70 against a really good top-notch defense, that's usually more than that top-notch defense gives up. So offensively, they might be limited a little bit. These three teams are well-deserving to be where they're at, and I think the regular season allowed them to go through some adversity. And sometimes, I think it was you that mentioned, Evan, a month ago, that, you know, maybe these losses are okay for Wisconsin because they can get back and realize they're not as good as advertised. They can go back and they have to keep working every day. Things aren't coming easy. And so when you look at it, yeah, the records may not have been great in the Big Ten, but I think those losses to maybe a middle-of-the-pack team when you were a Wisconsin or a Purdue, and Michigan had to fight, you know, tooth and nail just to get into the NCAA tournament and go through that Big Ten conference tournament. So they were fighting. And I think those losses, when you lose to, you know, like a Penn State, or you lose to an Illinois, which they played well at the end of the year, but when you have those losses as a coach, you literally then can just look your team in the eye and say, look, you're not as good as you think you are. You just lost. Or, you know, for example, Evan, when Rutgers brought Wisconsin to overtime, yeah, you won that game, but you let Rutgers get you to overtime? Do you not think in that locker room Wisconsin guys are feeling good about themselves? No, they were going back to work. So I think, yeah, people can argue that the Big Ten was down, but, you know, now we're at the Sweet 16, and you've got a conference that has three good quality teams in the Sweet 16 and the ACC. One lone team, North Carolina, and a good North Carolina team. But that Duke team, Evan, I'll tell you, for them to blow a lead in the second half like that, Coach K has got to be steaming today. He's got to be wondering what the heck happened. That is not Duke-like.
for them to lose a lead in the second half and to give up that many points in the second half. I realize South Carolina is a good team, but, man, I don't know what happened to Duke. That was not a typical Duke team in that second half. Usually when they have a lead, especially in a tournament game and a Coach Chase coach team, giving up a lead like that in the second half is just uncharacteristic.
Yeah, definitely. Not very Duke or Coach K-like, but, you know, that's what happens if you don't have a true point guard on your team. That's what Duke ran into. They don't have a true point guard, and they struggled to keep control of the game. And that's what it came down to, Duke, at the end of the day, you know, missing that point guard. And that's the one thing Coach K is really going to have to look at moving forward, is finding a guy that can run the point, a guy that he can trust with that role. And, you know, Coach K has done a lot of the one-and-dones lately. And the thing is, when you're doing the one-and-dones, very rarely is a point guard ready to be that court general as a freshman. You need the guy to develop a little bit. And that's what you don't really see anymore, is him developing, you know, the 2-, 3-, 4-year starters anymore. They leave after year one, a year two, pretty much. So that's what I think Coach K needs to get back to looking at, is finding a true court general, a true point guard to help lead the way for Duke. And I got, like, the Facebook Live video I did, I initially had Kansas in my Final Four, but the Facebook Live video I did, I put Michigan there. And there's something about this Michigan team, Troy. Since right before the Big Ten tournament, when the plane went off the runway, Michigan has been fired up. Like, they run the table in the Big Ten tournament. They're hot going into the NCAA tournament. Beat Oklahoma State by one. Beat Louisville. Now they got Oregon. Then they're going to have win against Oregon. They got the winner of Purdue and Kansas. I just have a hard time betting against this Michigan team right now. There's just something about this team that, you know, I could easily see them advancing to the Final Four, and I definitely think we could see Michigan there or Purdue. But I see Purdue having a tough time beating Kansas. But I think the one thing I can say tournament-wise is North Carolina is probably the best team overall in the tournament. Now, they did almost let Arkansas come back to win, but for the majority of that game, North Carolina was in control. Now, one last thing I want to discuss before we call the show, and that's the officiating for the NCAA tournament. You saw in Northwestern, I'll use that example, Northwestern and Gonzaga, a obvious goaltend, player for Gonzaga, put his hand through the rim, through the hoop, and knocked the ball out with his hand in the hoop. Obvious goaltend, should have been 2 points for Northwestern. Instead, they don't call it a goaltend. The coach for Northwestern goes to argue the call. He gets teed up. And now you got a 4-point swing, and Gonzaga, pretty much that could have been the game right there. And now Northwestern's coach should have kept his cool. He should not have lost his cool. He put his team in bad position by losing his cool. But overall, the officiating, to me, Troy, has been quite atrocious in this tournament. There's a lot of 50-50 calls that could go one way or the other, charge or offensive or defensive foul, and they get it wrong every time, it seems like. They can't figure out the difference between a blocking foul and a charge. They missed the goaltend, as I mentioned, in Gonzaga and Northwestern. They're Duke and South Carolina, the officiating is horrible. Like, they're calling fouls on Duke that makes you scratch your head, and they call a foul on South Carolina that makes you scratch your head. You know, to me, as I said, the officiating has just been atrocious. What has your thought been on the officiating? Do you feel like, do you agree with me that it's just been completely awful, or is it just, you know, people overreacting?
No, it's inconsistent across the board. And, you know, the thing is, you look at all the games. If you look at all the games, and I guess I'll put it this way. When you look at all the games across the board,
I have to then maybe say it's just inconsistent. There's games where it's been, though, just outright horrible, Evan. That goaltending call, it's funny you bring that up. That new game that people are liking to play with, that little pie-in-the-face game where you turn the little lever and you wait to see if the pie comes in your face, you're going to make a new rule, and now that you can put your hand in the hoop and just bat the ball away. Every once in a while, you can just do that, just out of the, you know, just because. That was the most ridiculous non-call in the world. And you're right. The coach should have kept his cool. Coming from a former coach, it's easier said than done. When there's a bad call, when there's a blatantly bad call miss, I've been there on that side where I've lost my cool. I've been red carded before as a coach. And it's the same in soccer. For those that don't know, a yellow card is the same as a technical foul. You get a second yellow card, you get kicked out of the game. Never got a red card right off the bat and got kicked out. But I've gotten a yellow, and then I've gotten another yellow. Because there's sometimes that you want them to keep your cool, but it's just outrageous that a referee is that blind to miss that call. Now, again, Northwestern had dug themselves a huge hole, but they were coming back. And that pretty much though sealed the fate right there. But again, Evan, to me, just watching that game, that was terrible. Then you look at these intentional fouls at the end of the game, and you get an intentional foul call, and then they call it a flagrant, not a common foul. Come on now, you know what's happening at the end of the game. The guy did not go to intentionally hurt him. That's what a flagrant foul is. Technically, the way that it was set up, that yes, you can call the flag. Come on, it's the end of the game. You know he's going to. And so I don't like the inconsistency. Watching, and I can't recall the game. I wish I could. I watched so many games that I just can't recall all of them. The guy's out of control. Literally should have been called for a travel. Barrels the guy over, and they call a blocking foul. I'm like, come on. Even the common fan's going to say, what are you doing? First of all, it should have been a travel. Second, he put his head down and barreled his shoulder into the guy. But, oh, his foot was moving. That is a charge or a travel. Blocking would have been my third option. You went with the third option. And it's just a lot of inconsistency, Evan. But, again, you know, I've watched some games where I thought the officiating was really good. The problem you're going to get with this many games and this many crews, some crews like to swallow the whistle. Some crews like to blow the whistle. So I think as a team and as a coach playing in this tournament, that I don't want to say it's a disadvantage, but sometimes you don't know what you're going to get with the officiating crew. Now, the scouting is done on officials, believe me. Even in the old world of soccer when I coached, we knew the officials that were refereeing the game. We knew how they liked to call a game. And I'm not saying that you changed your game plan, but as a coach, you know in the back of your mind. You know in the back of your mind what that officiating crew is about and how they call a game. But I think it's a big disadvantage for some of these teams in the tournament, Evan, because if you get a crew, if you're a physical team and you like to battle and you're a gritty team and you have an officiating crew that likes to blow ticky-tack, that could be a big disadvantage for your team because your guys could get ticky-tack fouls, get in foul trouble because they're an aggressive-type team. Now, you can't change that style of play. But as a coach, you're going to know, man, I might have to go to my bench this game because I got ticky-tack fouls being called. You know, if you're more slow tempo, you know, do the things and, you know, you're hoping to get to the line and you're having a crew that they'd like to swallow the whistle. Well, that can be a disadvantage too because you like to drive it to the hoop and you're hoping to get to the line. But, you know, those are things that unfortunately are part of the game. But overall, you know, Evan, there's probably as many bad games as there is good games, so it kind of evens out, and the things that are going to stick out are the bad games. So it's not like every game is bad, but there has been some horrid officiating games out there. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, cool, because I'm having some internet issues, and I was trying to mute myself for a second on the computer on the studio, and it's just spinning and spinning, so that's why I didn't know or not. But, yeah, definitely inconsistent calls, I'll say that for sure. And you kind of got to scratch your head. I don't know if the NCAA keeps crews together or they mismatch crews or not, but, yeah, I just know that, you know, the officials should not be in the spotlight in the NCAA tournament, but they're in the spotlight a little too much so far in this tournament for me to for my liking. So, you know, with that, I don't really have anything else to add. I guess the one thing I'm kind of unhappy about as a Badger fan is that we have to wait till 9 o'clock Central Time Friday to play. I don't know why they couldn't have the East region play a little bit earlier, but, you know, I don't make the schedule. I just get to complain about it. But, you know, I got nothing else to add, so I'm going to throw it back to you to wrap up the show.
Yeah, well, I get that game at 10 o'clock, Evan. I get the game at 10 o'clock. Yeah, so I do want to throw one thing back at you. And Kevin and I had talked about this, so I want to get your thoughts on this. So after that goaltending call, Evan, the NCAA issues a letter of apology. How do you feel? Because I already ranted on Go Big or Go Home, and I ranted for about 4 or 5 minutes about a coach and an apology letter because it happened to me as a coach. But if you're sitting there, Evan, the call is made, it's after the game, and then you get an apology. Oh, we screwed this up. Does it matter to you if you're a coach that you've got an apology letter?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, at the end of the day, that apology letter they send you after the fact is about as does about as good as the paper that you use in the bathroom to clean up after yourselves if you catch my drift. So, you know, that's kind of my only thought on it. It's just kind of a waste of paper.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to go on to my rant again, but it happened to me in college when I was coaching, and just terrible call. And the conference, our conference had issued a letter of apology. Well, you sent me a letter of an apology 4 days later and from something that cost us a game. That's not going to make me feel any better. I don't care that you sent me a letter. So that's the short end of my rant. I've been on that end. I think it's totally ridiculous that you send a letter, do something about it, you know, fix the problem. And it's, again, like you said, after the fact. But, you know, another great show in the books, Evan. You know, no tournament now, games until, again, Thursday. But, again, Badger fans all geared up and a real legitimate shot to make another Final Four appearance. That would be quite amazing. Considering I had Wisconsin losing in the second round, like I said, I am a diehard Badger fan, but I did not see them having a chance. Well, I shouldn't say that. I thought they'd have a chance, but I didn't realistically think they'd get by Villanova. So I know we got a lot of sports going on this week, Evan. We got the NBA is clawing down to the playoff times, about 10, 11 games left for certain teams. NHL season is winding down. We're getting to that great time of the year. I had mentioned last a little break between basketball. I'd like to touch on some Major League Baseball spring training here, either tomorrow night or Wednesday night. I'll let you decide what night you want to do that, but I definitely want to talk about some Milwaukee Brewers. I want to talk about, you know, overall the Major League Baseball season coming up, because before we know it, we're going to blink, and opening day is going to be here, bud.
Yeah, definitely, and I got nothing else to add.
All right, so thanks for listening in, everybody. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otrovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll catch you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.